This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
They actually recorded numbers, literally recording their votes. It's an extraordinary verdict form. It's like nothing I've ever seen.
That's David Schumacher, former assistant U.S. attorney, talking about the verdict form handed in by jurors in the case of Barry Cadden, the Massachusetts compounding pharmacist at the center of the deadly outbreak of fungal meningitis that infected hundreds and killed at least 60 people. Now, you'll remember that back in March, a jury convicted Cadden of racketeering and mail fraud. The jury found him not guilty of the most serious charge, second-degree murder. But closer examination of the jury verdict form shows that the jury may not have been unanimous in their verdicts, even though that's what federal court requires. It's an unprecedented event, eliciting reactions from the legal community like the one you heard from Attorney Schumacher. WBUR's David Boyer reported this story, and he joins us now. Hi there, David.
Hi, Meghna.
So the jurors weren't unanimous in the Cadden verdict? I mean, what's going on? What was actually on that form?
Well, they certainly don't look like they were unanimous, and that's the proof. You look at that verdict form, that extraordinary verdict form, because when you see it, you see they put numbers down, and all the numbers add up to 12, as in the number of jurors, but they're split on the not guilty finding. So there's the evidence that, in fact, they're not unanimous.
Huh, interesting. So, I mean, basically all the jurors had to do is there's columns, right? Guilty or not guilty for every count. And all they had to do is check it. But instead they put these numbers as well, right?
Right. Well, and this is what is extraordinary. Nobody has seen this before, where the jurors actually put the numbers voting for guilty or for not guilty. So what's telling is that when they convicted Cadden, and they convicted him on 57 counts, they put a little legend in, handwritten at the bottom of each page where they find him guilty, checkmark equals unanimous. There's no such thing for the not guilty counts. There's a little check beside the not guilty, and then there are the numbers that indicate, in fact, they're not unanimous.
Okay. Now, I should note that we have people can take a look at the jury form for themselves because we've got images of them at our website, radioboston.org. And really, I encourage people to go there because it's a thing to behold. Now, David, I mean, as we said at the beginning of this conversation, federal courts require unanimous verdicts. So how could the judge have allowed this to happen?
That's a good question. How could he have? You know, I'm not the judge in this. I'm not the judge. How could he have let it happen? Well, it is extraordinary. And there's so many things people have never seen before. And one of them is to imagine you're in the courtroom, Meghna, and understand that as the clerk is reading the verdict forms, nobody else, certainly not the lawyers, can see what she's reading. So all they hear are the verdicts, guilty and not guilty. They're surprised that, in fact, he was found not guilty on those 25 predicate acts of second-degree murder, but they don't see it. And they don't see the verdict form until the jurors have actually left the courthouse. Uh-huh. And so here it is. The diva has sung. It's over. Done. You can't bring it back. And they look at that form and they say, wait a minute. They weren't unanimous. And if they weren't unanimous, they hadn't reached any verdict at all, technically, Meghna.
Right. So you spoke with former federal judge and WBUR legal analyst Nancy Gertner for some perspective. And again, she sat on the federal bench. And here's what she said.
The question is, what's the significance of these numbers? I know what would have happened in my courtroom. If I saw these numbers, I would have had a sidebar, that is to say, a confidential discussion with the lawyers and say, what do you want me to do with this?
Well, that's former judge, federal judge Nancy Gertner. I mean, David, we know that sidebar didn't happen in this case, but have the lawyers for either side spoken up? Is anyone calling for a retrial? Could they even do that?
There seems to be no precedent for this happening, Meghna. So the appeals it seems like it's out of the question. It's done. As soon as those jurors leave, it's over. And Barry Cadden has, you know, this is the whole rule of double jeopardy. He cannot be retried for the crimes that he was charged with and he was found not guilty of. And, you know, this is part of that extraordinary scene that took place because the judge says before he looks over the verdict slip and turns it over to the clerk to read out loud to the court, he says that every juror is going to be questioned at the end to make sure that their verdict was unanimous. He doesn't do that, but you have what is sort of seems like the afterwards, it seems like the kabuki dance here, where the clerk says, "So say you, Mr. Foreman." "Yes." "So say you, members of the jury." "Yes." But of course, they would say yes because they'd already reported, and one would say incorrectly, that they were unanimous. So what they were affirming by saying yes, according to some lawyers, was that they were unanimously confused about the need to be unanimous.
Wow. So let me see if I have this straight now, David. What we have here is a case in which, in fact, on many of the counts, it was a hung jury. But because that wasn't raised before the verdicts were announced, that the verdict, and since the jury has gone home, those verdicts currently stand. No mistrial being declared or anything. But, it just boggles the mind.
It really is sui generis for this reporter and for everybody in that courthouse. They've not seen it before. Stephen Gillers, a professor at New York University, says the judge had an obligation. He did exactly the opposite of what Nancy had said she would do as a federal judge. But the ramifications of what he did are enormous, because if, in fact, the jurors are not unanimous, they've not reached any verdict at all. They should have been ordered, sent back to deliberate, but they weren't. And had they gone through deliberations, remember, some of those votes were very close to find Barry Cadden guilty of the second-degree murders.
Right.
But had they continued, and had they not gotten there, they might have, but had they not gotten there, they then would have been considered hung. The judge would have declared a mistrial, but in the case of a mistrial, the government has the chance to retry the defendant on those particular charges. So by accepting the not guilty verdicts, Judge Richard Stearns basically enabled the process to stop deliberations and to find Barry Cadden not guilty, one would say, before the jury finished its deliberations.
Wow, David. Okay, that's something to say. Now, but because of the way the law works, Cadden can't be retried on these things. There's double jeopardy here, right? But can this have an effect on any subsequent steps, next steps in his case?
Well, he comes up for sentencing next month. Now, there's another oddity about federal sentencing, that even though he's been found not guilty of second-degree murders, when you get to sentencing, the standard is no longer beyond a reasonable doubt, but preponderance of evidence. So what I'm telling you, sit down here, Magda, is that the federal court can use his acquitted behavior to argue that he should be sentenced for the same maximum penalty if he had been convicted of the murders, which he wasn't.
Huh.
So they may well seek life in prison, which is what he would have faced had he been found guilty of those second-degree murder charges.
Interesting. So possibly an explanation there for why the prosecution isn't seeking. Well, they can't even seek the mistrial now. But
the defense obviously did not want to question this.
Uh-huh.
You know, the prosecution won 57 convictions. They won guilty on 57 counts. And prosecutors are generally trained not to ask for a poll of the jurors when, in fact, they've won all these convictions. So they didn't call for a poll of the jurors. It would have taken, what's extraordinary is that people have told me, it would have taken 15 minutes for the judge to have sorted all this out and to find out that the jurors were confused or didn't understand their instructions, that they needed to be 12-0, up or down, guilty or not guilty. And that's what appears happened.
Well, David, Glenn Chin, who was the New England Compounding Center supervisory pharmacist, he faces trial as well. There's no date yet set for that trial, but he's been charged with numerous counts of second degree murder. Makes me wonder how what happened with the jury in the Cadden case might have an impact on Chin's trial.
Yeah, it's hard to say. We'd only be speculating. But the most severe penalty in Chin's case, like in Cadden's case before him, would be being found guilty of those second-degree murders. And, you know, this is, it is just, it's extraordinary to look at what's happened here. Now, the only people who know, Maida, the only people who know what those numbers meant, those guilty, not guilty, that were called unanimous, are the jurors themselves. And Richard Stearns, the judge, is holding on to the jury list about two months afterwards, after the trial. Federal rulings in the courthouse in Boston say that jury lists are public. They're presumed to be public unless there are exceptional circumstances the judge offers for holding them. Yeah. This judge has not offered any exceptional circumstances. He's still holding to the jury list. So like Richard Stearns, we haven't been able to question the jurors.
David, all of this makes me wonder if in future cases in Boston Federal Court, we're going to see lawyers who don't like the verdict saying, let me see that jury slip before the case is gaveled to a close.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So some people are critical of the prosecutors here, saying they should have asked for a sidebar right away because Stearns signaled that something was amiss when he told the clerk, read the verdicts, not the numbers. Well, what?
Yeah.
And so that would sort of catch your attention. But as one of the prosecutors, as some of the people in the court have said, nobody in a million years would think that the judge would actually accept non-unanimous verdicts as unanimous. So nobody thought of stepping up and questioning it. But that's what people in the court say. Look, you can't blame the jurors. Nobody would have ever thought that that might happen. Nobody knows that it ever happened before.
Yeah. That's WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. David, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Magda.